AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the dust settles on Wilfried Nancy's first game in charge of Celtic with Roma on the horizon. Rangers won't be without Mohamed Diamandé for the duration of AFCON as he is not called up by his national team. And Tawanda Maswanise, the Motherwell forward, has been named the Player of the Month for November. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dalziel.
Well, after an exciting weekend of football, obviously introduction of the new Celtic manager, he probably knows what like it is to manage a club like Celtic now after only one game. We're looking forward to Thursday night, three teams in Europe. We're looking forward to some exciting games on Saturday and then the first cup final on Sunday, Celtic v St Mirren. Lot to look forward to.
Yes, another massive week, isn't it, for Scottish clubs? Like you said, Thursday going into Europe first and foremost, some big games. All three teams need to pick up 3 points rather. Like I said, then we have the weekend with the league and then the cup final. So really looking forward to that. I'm sure the tactics board will be back out Sunday, but not as much will be spoken about it if they are to win that.
0141-951-1025. That's the number you need. So let's hear from you. There was so much fallout for numerous reasons that you don't need me to outline, I don't think, from Hearts win at the weekend. So I don't think we get over it all in just one night. Those phone lines were chock-a-block last night. So if you didn't get through, or you didn't like something you heard, or did like something you heard, or you've read more about it today and you want to get something off your chest, give us a call right now if you can. 0141-951-1025. It might be the night where we take it on a bit and hear from you Hearts fans and actually assess what it means at the top of the table. It was very much about tactics boards and coloured counters and stuff like that yesterday. I'm not saying that you won't still want to discuss that, some of you, but maybe let's look at some of the other elements of the game. Of course, we spoke a bit last night about the tactics and did the change of system work to Celtic's benefit in the first half? Is that why they lost the game? Is it not? Is it nothing to do with that? All that sort of stuff. But what about the actual impact at the top of the table? Has it got you fans in Glasgow fearing for your title hopes, showing what Hearts are made of? Or do you still think they will be overtaken? And Hearts fans, what does it do for you? Because ultimately, I know there's been a lot of lashing out at everyone else saying that your bubble had burst, but I'm pretty sure one or two of you maybe felt that things had slowed down a bit. What a way to bounce back that was. So 0141-951-1025. Couple of other stories doing the rounds today in terms of breaking news, if you like. Rangers fans, I know he's not been in brilliant form, but you still would have rather had Mohamed Diamandé. There was a fear he was going to go to the AFCON. He's not actually been called up, so you're going to get to keep him, which is another boost, I'm sure, numbers wise for Danny Rule. Lots of good things being said about Motherwell at the moment. It's been highlighted again. Tawanda Maswanise is the Player of the Month for November. And anything else you could do, early thoughts. We're only 2 days away from the next batch of Europa League games. 0141-951-1025. Give us a call just before we get any further. We're on the live stream. Obviously, you can only see the kind of top half. Shorts in December. Are we comfortable with that decision? You think that's appropriate for a man of your age?
Yeah, I just felt like today I just wanted to put my shorts on and just let it all hang out, really.
I mean, it's pitch black.
Oh, you're letting it hang out. You pouring, should be
pouring the rain. windy, miserable.
Crocs as well.
Crocs,
it's about
and
being
shorts.
Comfortable. About being comfortable in what you wear.
What about our comfort?
Yeah,
me and him having to look at you.
Yeah, that's true. To be fair,
I like your style.
Yeah, I'll stand up in the show. The housewives will be absolutely delighted with the legs underneath here.
Did you have a good weekend?
I certainly have.
Did you enjoy what the association football had to offer?
Yeah, it was a very good weekend. I all started on Friday afternoon into Friday evening with the World Cup draw, and then the weekend's football. A lot of excitement. I think you're right to highlight one or two teams there, Gordon. Hometown, Motherwell, absolutely brilliant. I know that Marv's got a massive game next week against Dundee. That'll be big. And then you look forward to a cup final. Rangers going to Rugby Park and getting a good result as well. There's one or two clubs in there. I know it's early December, but they're starting to look like they need a result to kick on again.
Who are you talking about? Any clubs in particular?
Well, listen, the good thing about...
You're starting to get scared of him now. Do you feel like in the first couple of weeks of the season, he can make these jokes?
He was a bit aggressive to me.
Now that it gets to December and it's actually serious, you feel like you maybe can't...
Yeah, I don't want him to go down, right, because we'll never see him again. The fact is, he is starting to get a little bit aggressive with me before we come on here, and I'm a bit concerned he does stand up and show everybody those legs. But, look... he knows it's a massive game. Everybody does, and so will Dundee. The good thing about it is, last game you won August 9th or something like that, but they're not detached, and there's still plenty of time to turn it around, but they need a result. And you look at Dundee United also starting to fall down that league.
Kilmarnock
are in real trouble. St Mirren, a great result for them, getting into the confidence booster on Sunday, the cup final. They needed that. Let's not be kiddied here. And Hearts, you're quite right to pinpoint that. Went to Celtic Park, difficult game. New manager's bounce, it didn't happen. Derek McInnes got his tactics spot on. 3 points ahead, Celtic a game in hand.
Okay, 01419511025. Let's get stuck in with Raymond, who's in Greenock first. How's it going, Raymond?
Aye, not bad, guys. Just cooking my dinner. What's happening?
What are you having?
It's a kind of stovey, but it's a plant-based stovey. So there you go.
What? So a traditional, a modern twist on a traditional favourite, you would have to say.
I'm not grasping that.
Stovey is one of the bones of contention in so many places because so many arguments have been over what a stovey is.
Mince and ties.
Some people put carrot, some people claim it should be slice.
Well, listen, the look on Marvin's face, this takes me back.
Raymond,
this is the guy that hadn't heard of square sausage, right? So stovies are going to be lost on him. No, never.
No.
Never even heard the word.
No.
Oh, jeez, no, right. Yeah, somebody send them in.
You'll love it.
Square sausage is slice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it depends what part of the country you're from, I suppose. But you never heard of stovies, no?
What?
Quickly, you've got 5 seconds to explain stovies to Marvin, then I want to discuss football. Raymond, go.
Stovey, traditional Scottish thing that's basically made in a pot with whatever meat and veg you've got lying about.
Sounds good to me. Great. What about your team?
I'm a Morton fan, technically, because I live in Greenock. So.
Right. Oh, sorry. So is it about Morton? You got something else on your mind?
No. I don't know if you guys noticed, but listen, see the initial YouTube videos of Nolensi being, you know, introduced to the Celtic players I was watching.
Mm-hmm.
There just seem to be, I don't know, have you guys seen the videos? When you look at the body language of the players towards them, there was just this, I don't know, really quite dismissive lack of respect to begin with. It's not like when you meet your new boss. Do you know what I mean? They were kind of, has anybody else seen this? Is it just me?
I saw the one where we met James Forrest. Mm-hmm. It looked like a fairly awkward encounter, but that can happen. Then I saw meeting some youth team players. I haven't, if there's ones where he meets the rest of the first team, maybe I haven't seen them yet. But you seriously think you can read into that stuff, Raymond? Do you think?
Mate, listen, I don't know if anybody else can maybe phone in and confirm that, you know, I'm not just tripping and seeing things that are not there. But I just felt from it. And Alistair Johnson, he was slagging them just about, oh, your English is better now. It just seemed, I don't know, there was something not right about it.
I think there's a nervousness, though, when a new manager comes in, having been a player in that situation. And I haven't seen the videos to know what the body language was like, and I'm not a body language expert, but players can be nervous sometimes with a new manager coming in and they introduce themselves, etc. So probably a little bit more of that. And Alistair Johnson comments probably, it probably means they're better friends than the average person. It's probably a bit of banter
between
the two.
I'd say it's more than probably.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way he's saying that
to the new manager.
As like an actual criticism, is there?
Yeah,
no,
exactly. So it's a bit of banter, but... Yeah, no, probably more nervousness, Raymond, from them meeting the new manager for the first time rather than anything else, mate. That's what I would guess.
I just remember seeing other managers being introduced to players, you know, the same kind of YouTube videos, and it was just different. There was much more of a kind of, hi, how you doing, mate? But these Celtic players, I don't know, they just seem to be, they were more turning their back on the guy from what I could see, but yeah.
Whether Raymond is right or wrong, Gordon, is up to personal interpretation, but what it does show you is that literally everything is under the microscope here. I hadn't considered it. I was just getting over the existence of the tactics board, the colours of the counters that were on said tactics board, YouTube video body line. Like I said, this is not, I'm not taking the mickey out of Raymond. I'm not saying it's wrong. Maybe just a sign of the way things
but
are.
But yeah. If you turn that around, I think Kieran Taylor comes out today and says, look, the manager will get his tactics right. He likes the fact that he plays in a back three. I thought Tierney looked very, very sharp, yeah, especially first half. So he might suit the way he plays for Kieran Tierney. Oh, I think you read everything into it. Gordon, see if he had won on Sunday, it'd be a completely different story. Nobody would have picked up on that. Nobody would pick up on the tactics board. Nobody picks up on body language. I thought he got off to a great start. I looked and we all discussed this, and there was something in my head that kept saying, it just sounds like the kind of manager that will come in, just put his stamp right on it and say, this, look, totally understand what Martin O'Neill achieved, brilliant, but this is the way I'm going to play. Mm-hmm. And see, after 15 minutes, you're thinking, Celtic get the first goal here. Mm-hmm. This could be a real good afternoon for them. But obviously I thought Hearts were a lot better in the second half. You look at the goals as well, the situation with that. And then that minute that happens, every single thing from body language to the tactics board to maybe, oh, you should be wearing a jacket rather than a big coat.
Don't introduce any other weird strands to this.
I was looking at socks and everything just to see what was happening. But look, the lad is just in the door. He's got a massive week coming up. And if he doubted what the situation, the pressure of managing Celtic was before he arrived here, I think he'd be sitting the last couple of days thinking, my goodness, what have I walked into? I need to really get my finger out.
Yeah, nobody scrutinises the colour of your counters at Columbus Crew, do they? I would put good money on that, gambling responsibly as always. Let's thank Raymond and bring in Jerry, who's on the other line. What's your take on it all, Jerry?
Hello and good evening, pal. First thing I would like to say is RIP to Dixie Dean, a great Celtic striker.
Yep, well
scored many great goals.
Well said, Jerry. Thank you for bringing that up.
Famously, the two games against the Hibs. And my point tonight really was, I've never seen such an overreaction to a new person coming into the Scottish game. And I feel a bit sorry for the new Celtic manager. But when I look back, I mean, when I'm thinking back to, remember when Wim Jansen came to Celtic and was described in the Scottish press as the second worst thing to happen to Hiroshima? And then Hugh's not on tonight, but when Lubo was signing for Celtic, Hugh said Celtic had made the wrong decision, they should have gone for, I think it was John Fleck at the time.
John Spencer, was it not?
John Spencer.
Anyway, Hugh's never been able to shake that off.
He's famous for saying that Ange stood for absolutely not good enough. And I think sometimes you come across as being a little bit parochial and small-minded when it comes to foreign guys coming into a game.
What did you make of the reaction, Marvin?
Yeah, listen, it's one of those things, isn't it, when a new manager comes in, some people want him and others won't. You know, I think when you bring in a manager from further afield that people maybe haven't heard of, they're instantly dismissive of it. I think, you know, it was very difficult to follow Martin O'Neill as well, how well he had done. Because, you know, when Brendan Rodgers was there, it was very fractured in terms of the supporters. They weren't happy with, you know, some of Brendan's comments. And then, you know, there's a bit of, you know, anger towards the board as well. Then Martin O'Neill came in and he settled all that down, got the fans back on side, definitely supporting the team. And the team picked up some really, really good results, not always with greatest performances. And then you change the manager. And I think, you know, when it was kind of leaked that he would be coming in the next couple of days, people weren't too happy with it. And this is part and parcel of it. You know, not everyone's going to want you there. It might be 99% of people that don't want you there. But ultimately, if he comes in and wins games and wins trophies, that changes. You know, if you can't deal with pressure, then, you know, you're in the wrong job, especially if you're going to a big club like Celtic or Rangers.
Yeah, the big thing you've got to see here, and I know what Jerry's talking about, the reaction of a manager coming in, right? For me, and I hate to say this, he has to win the cup. Right, mm-hmm. He has to win the cup. He's got to come under severe pressure. You're talking about no other manager. Russell Martin came in, and after a week, you could tell the Rangers fans weren't having him. You know, it was instant. And unfortunately for Russell Martin, we kept saying it in this programme, you've got to hit the ground running, you've got to get results. He wasn't doing that. His style of play, everything he was coming out and saying in the press, and it was getting worse and worse and worse. This guy, Roma, I think he'll get away with, right? Because I think everybody looks at Roma. Roma are a very good side. We know that. If he did lose the cup final next week, I'll guarantee you Monday people will be calling for his head.
But that's fine, because
it has always been a results driven business. It is now probably more so than ever, or people are less patient now as well, and the level of scrutiny is there on social media, and you could go down a whole other discussion on that one. But are we in danger of not just letting the results? Because let's be honest, of course people are annoyed from a Celtic persuasion they lost the game. It's this tactics board that's getting held against the guy. Is that right? It doesn't feel right.
No, because it happens at many different clubs. You know, you watch some English Premier League teams, they have a tactics board, whether it's the assistant doing it or the manager. I think if you win that game of football, nobody's speaking about it.
And so, if he's got, let's be honest, if he's got an interactive version on his iPad that his assistant is showing Callum McGregor, and the camera can't quite see what's on that iPad,
which everyone has, by the way,
then we're not having this discussion. It feels... Listen, we're all human. When I saw it, I kind of, I don't know if chuckled's the right word, but you know that you think... And I look at that, and that's going to get brought up. Fine, you know, it's not that you're not allowed to reference it. Of course you are. It just feels like the amount of emphasis that's gone on it. I kind of see where Jerry's coming from.
Yeah,
I think we need to be careful that we're not all a bit, you know, sort of turn our nose up at anything that's just seen as even slightly different.
Yeah, I think it's been over the top. Well, it definitely for me has been over the top. Like you said, the reaction to it, but ultimately, I think that's because they haven't won the game of football. You mentioned a really, really good point that every team has a tactic board on the side, whether it's on the iPad, whether it's the assistant doing it and the camera can't actually see it.
Paper, maybe.
Yeah, you know, paper, you see everything.
All that sort of
you know,
stuff.
So it definitely happens. I think more's been made of it as well in terms of his announcement, which Jerry was speaking about in the first place, because of the, you know, the loggerhead between some supporters and the board as well. So I don't think, no matter what the board did, I don't think that those section of supporters would have been happy with. So all of these things he has to contend with. But, Gordon, listen, you win games of football, everyone forgets about your tactics board. Everyone forgets about, you know, what football club you came from. They'll fully back him, I've got no doubt about
that. Did the tactics cost them at the weekend? Or is it too simple to say he changed his formation, he lost the game, he therefore shouldn't have changed formation?
Well, I was in both camps because when I started watching the game, and I noticed he's obviously going to three, and the big situation was three left-footers in the back three, right? Two wing-backs that were wingers against top-of-league Hearts. At home, I thought, oh, this has got to be really interesting. I thought they were great for the first, you know, the opening period of the game. Maeda, how he misses, how he doesn't even hit the target is beyond me, but he's got to score. He's a couple of chances. I thought they were in the front foot. I'm thinking... this looks really, really good. So it's okay for me. But then the second half, you're thinking, well, this has been a bit of a mistake, because I do think it highlights when he kept bringing McGregor over and he showed, because he's only had 2 days to work on that, right? So if he'd have kept a simple formation, he could have easily got that information on within 2 seconds. He'd just tell a player, listen, I want you to go a wee bit more forward or whatever. I liked his bravery. Listen, he's a manager. He cannot sit there and go, well, Martin O'Neill played four at the back, I'm going to play a four. The big problem with him was, did he have the right personnel to play his formation, right? Did he have long enough to work at the formation? And in the opening half, I would have said yes, because I thought Celtic were very, very good, and they created chances, they looked sharp. You could hear the support. The crowd were up for it as well. Unfortunately, goals change games and they give away game.
Obviously, we'll never know. Marvin, and you're now in the coaching side of it. Celtic might well have lost that game with four at the back. Like, there's just nothing at all to come even close to proving that wouldn't be the case. But again, you also understand where people say, well, you know, that it had been successful, certainly in terms of results up until that point. I guess that's just the life of a manager, because if you do change it and then it doesn't go well, everyone's going to be, you know, straight on you.
Yeah, exactly that. And if he didn't change it and they lost the game, they'd have said, well, why didn't he change it? He's a manager who plays three at the back. So
how much of the result was down to the change in tactics?
I think Celtic missing chances is what it's down to. So ultimately, not much at all. If you play four at the back, five back, makes no difference if you're not going to put the ball in the back of the net.
And if you're going to switch off like you did for the first goal.
Exactly. Oh, well, and the second goal as well. I think, you know, Negrin's got to be a lot tighter to McAtee when he gets out for the header. So yeah, it's not all down to tactics for me. Maeda misses a huge chance. I think Engels should score in the second half as well with his header. People put it down to a good save. I put it down to a bad miss. Someone as good as he is in the air.
Straight out of the keeper.
Yeah, needs to put the ball in the back of the net.
Okay, thank you very much to Jerry. Good time for you to share your thoughts. We'll get them next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are here. Let's hear from Kenny, who's on the line. How are you, Kenny?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks. What are you thinking tonight, Kenny?
I'm just listening to the show regarding my set of fans, Celtic fans. You know, we're our own worst enemy. Every time something like this happens, there seems to be an implosion of we know better attitude. In regards to Wilfred Nancy, you know, the tactics board, I was listening to a guy earlier on about how they look, the meeting with the players looks awkward, they were turning their backs and blah, blah, blah. What a load of rubbish. I watched it myself, and Marvin's completely correct. It was like the first day of a new job vibes. You could see that perfectly in James Forrest's face. You know, the kind of nervousness, there's a new guy coming up to him. I don't think he expects him to be there for a start, you know, right behind him or in front of him. And he's seen him. And it was not about turning their back. I've seen the other introduction to the players. It was just like a new day at a new job. That's exactly what it was like. And you've got all these fans talking about the tactics board and everything else, you know, because they've won the Champions League with Airdrie on Football Manager. They think they know what they're talking about. It's an absolute joke. Just let us be fans and let the manager who lives and breathes it from early morning at the training ground until he gets home at night, and then the matches at the weekend. Let him do his job. Let us be fans.
Yeah, look, I mean, fans are obviously allowed to voice their opinion. Shows like this wouldn't work without it. But it's just that the word that kept coming up last night, and we're talking to Roger about it, is the optics, right? Of a quite frustrating word at times. The optics of the tactics board, where there's nothing really wrong with it, but it just looks bad, and it looks bad when you're losing and all that sort of stuff. But see, if you're Wilfried Nancy, in that moment, you think that's the best, that's your best chance of winning the game. You've not done it for a laugh. You've done it to try and get your message across. Your style might be visual learning. You might think that's the way players are going to pick it up. You've not had time to get the message across. Because the thing about all this is, see if he keeps using the tactics board and he keeps losing all these games, it's the losing of the games that gets you the sack. You know, he's obviously doing it with the sort of feeling that's the best way of getting his message across. And surely we need to just give that, even just give that time to find out if that works. Because see if it doesn't, he'll be sacked anyway, right? That's the way football management works.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Using the tactics board, you make a great point there in terms of people being visual learners. When he's calling Callum McGregor over, he's not talking about just his position. He's probably asking him to pass on the message to two or three other players. So the best way of doing that is by saying, he needs to be here, he needs to be here, you need to be here. The more they get used to playing and the way that the manager wants to play, the more training sessions he has with them and the more video stuff that he can do with them, maybe you'll see less of the tactics board. But like you said, at that moment in time, what gives him the best opportunity to win the game in his eyes is to use a tactics board. There is nothing wrong with that. You see it day in, day out in training. You see it at halftime. You see it before the game. And sometimes you see it post-match. You even see the analysts come down with, you know, the laptop and show you actual videos of what's going on as well at halftime. So all of these things happen within football. Like you said, sometimes it's just one of those things that you don't win a game of football and people just want to point at something. But come, you know, the end of the season, if they've, you know, won the double or won the treble or whatever it might be, no one will be laughing in, and that's all he'll care about.
That's clearly the way I feel about it. I'm just a bit hesitant to go too hard on a human for this stuff rather than forget Celtic or whatever. It just feels like the human reaction to it's a bit weird. But that's just a personal thought on it. Is there a case to say that it does give off the, I don't know, whatever it is that people are taking offence to, the wrong vibe, the wrong idea, a sign that he's scrambling around? Should someone be pointing out that sort of thing is ridiculed here? I mean, are we giving this way too much?
Way too much. And if Kenny thinks that they've just got to be fans and let the manager do their job,
that's never
going to happen in a million years, unfortunately. I'd have loved that even when I was a manager myself. But no, I don't get caught up in too much of the whether he used a tactics board, whether he used different methods. It's all about winning games for Celtic. look, he came into a difficult situation. There's no doubt, because there was a lot of Celtic fans was loving Martin O'Neill and everything about Martin. I'd like to see him stay for these three big games, because that's all we heard. Listen, let the new manager come in after the three big games. We've got Hearts, Roma, and then we've got the cup final against St Mirren. It was never going to work that way. He came in, and unfortunately for him, he lost his first game, and it was against Hearts, and it wasn't the worst performance I've ever seen. See, if I looked at that game and I thought tactically, oh my God, these Celtic players don't even look like they know what they're doing, I would have been the first to come on here and say it.
Because it would have been to be fair, some people still think it was, which is fine, because they lost the game, because that would have then really underlined how crazy it was to move away from.
They lost the game, because if you analyse it, and by the way, I'm taking nothing away from Hearts, they went there, done the best job in the world on Celtic. They lost the game because they switched off at a goal, every one of them. Even the Hearts player switched off at that goal. If you look at Braga, he switched off as well, and for a set play, which you'll be so disappointed with. The opening period of that game, I thought Celtic were as good as I've seen them. Quick, on the front foot, exciting foot. Well, you could hear the fans were up for it. But unfortunately, the result went against them.
Because inevitably, and I knew this would happen, people are sending me tonight pictures of Wilfried Nancy with a tactics board on the bench for Columbus Crew. Now, can I struggle with the fine line on this stuff? Because I think we should celebrate the things that make us unique, and I think we should celebrate the fact that there is more intense here and there is more scrutiny here. But I don't know. I don't know how appropriate it is to say, you can use a tactics board in MLS, but you can't do it here.
Yeah,
I don't know if that reflects very well.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't reflect very well if we're to say how a manager is to manage. As Gordon said there, it's about how he gets his message across, how he wants to do it. Like you said, people are now sending new pictures of him doing it in his previous job, and it's something that he'll continue to do. I'm sure he's not worried about what people think in terms of him using a tactics board or not. He's trying to get a message across to his players the best way that he possibly can. And like you said there, one was a set play and one was, you know, a bit of unluck from Celtic's point of view, the first goal as well.
At the same time, Kenny, I don't mind you coming on and sticking up for the manager. Other people have criticised him. It is a defeat. We knew this week was going to be pretty intense. You're confident that this week ends well, and therefore, you know, Wilfried Nancy gets the chance to win people round? Because I'm sure you would concede that, you know, if this week goes badly, it could be a long road back.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's exactly what happens with a brand new manager. And the way Celtic want to spin it is, he's won this, he's won that, he won this. But at the end of the day, I still think it is a project. To be honest, I don't have much problem with that. And quite rightly, as you said, if it works. But I just want to go back to Dazzle. What I meant by that was, let the manager be the manager and let the fans be the fans. I totally get it. That doesn't work in Glasgow. I get his point. It's just frustrating, you know, when we're having this amount of conversation regarding the tactics board, and it's just the way that a manager works. But to answer your question, if it gets worse, then it's something obviously we need to look at. I actually think we lost the Hearts game because Wilfried Nancy only had the time that he had to meet the players. If I'm being honest, completely honest, I think it was a mistake to change any of the system when your game was that close. And I think they should have stuck to the methods of Martin O'Neill for the Hearts game, and then you've got a full however many days after that to maybe implement half of his system or some of it.
Who'd be a manager, eh? Because it would have been interesting if he'd stuck with the so-called Martin O'Neill formation
and lost,
and Celtic had lost. then what he would have thought going into the, you know what I mean, going into Roma and going into St Mirren. Then go, right, I'll stick with it again, because it, and by the way, I'm not saying this makes it right or wrong to do what he did. It just would have been interesting that's, you know, we've all got hindsight.
Honestly, I think that, I know that they lost the game, I think he was quite right in doing what he was doing. At the end of the day, that's his system. He's been brought in there because Celtic liked that. They've done their homework, attacking football, three at the back. That's the way they play. Now, you can argue all day long, oh, he should have kept it to a back four. You're right, it doesn't guarantee you're going to win a game of football. And we get back to it, it wasn't like you looked at a Celtic team thinking they're all over the place here. They have no idea how to play this system. They know how to play it. Tierney's come out today and said, look, I loved playing in the in a three. Scottish international, one of the best players Celtic have had for a long time. So it's not like they're not buying into it, but it goes back to the old saying, you've got to win games.
Yeah, but this is massive. Next Tuesday, we are having an entirely different conversation, Marvin. But just not because three games is loads, but because one of them's a cup final.
Yeah.
So, you know, as much as I'm, as well, I'm kind of on, I don't take sides generally with these sort of things, but I'm on Kenny's side in the sense that I just don't know if it reflects great that we all start laughing because a guy got a tactics board out, and that doesn't matter who he manages. But by next Tuesday, if Sunday didn't go well, we are having a really, really different... And that's the position he was put in. We knew this was a possibility.
Yeah, that's the position you want to be put in as a manager. You know, I said this before, and people were saying, let Martin O'Neill have it till the 15th of December. If you're the incoming manager, you want to face Hearts, who are a team at the top of the league. Obviously, you've got the European game against Roma, but the cup final, you know, if someone said to you within three games, you could win silverware and be top of the league, that's what you go to Celtic Football Club to do, to try and achieve these things. So regardless of formation, regardless of anything else, Gordon, like you said, he has to win on Sunday. Otherwise, it's a totally different, you know, conversation we're having next week.
Thank you, Kenny. Before I say this, right, on the serious side of it, I do generally have real sympathy for the fans, right? That's not what this is about. I'm about to get Gordon Dale's reaction, and I've got real sympathy for fans and everybody else who is affected. However, I want to know, just knowing you as I do, and knowing how you feel about your old pal Mark Wilson, I want to know how you feel about him going to Cove and the game being postponed an hour before kick-off.
Oh, that beats Roger Hanna breaking down going to Dundee. Tell me he was right up there. Tell me.
The game kicks off in an hour.
Wow.
Oh, he was in Cove.
He was in the stadium.
Oh, there.
Mate. That's brilliant.
That made your Christmas.
Oh, that's good.
That's karma for Alec Gray. Did you hear him on Sunday's show? So, obviously, they got had Cove today, and one of the questions on Beat the Pundit was, what are the KDM sponsor? And he turned around and said, darts.
And that was the competition they're playing in tonight.
Yeah.
So, like I say, genuine, right? Genuine, like, sympathy for everyone else who's affected, but for Mark.
I know. He'll be sitting in the front of the bus, won't he?
He's
pet it lit all the way back there. If he's in about him, stop it. They don't go by Avi Moore, do they?
Give us a call.
Aye, stop and get a wee chippy. I was thinking of Ross County and Inverness.
They've taken a wrong turn.
Maybe that's how the game's postponed.
Oh my goodness. Right, thank you very much to Kenny. We're going to bring James in just after the break. Let me tell you about this first though.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
Have you, Marvin Bartley, seen the video of Gordon Dale test driving the car where he calls himself the Sting instead of the Stig? I've watched it about 45 times.
What a god.
It's the way he says it. He goes, they call me the Sting
with such confidence,
and the guy goes, the Stiggy. Anyway, he's been to test drive the brand new JQ5 Pure, and it could be yours by texting CAR to 84901. There is seriously no catch here. I know you might just think these are things I say for dramatic effect. You text CAR to 84901, you give £5 to Cash for Kids. £5, every penny straight to children that need your help, and then you're in the draw for the brand new car that is worth tens of thousands of pounds. It is an incredible opportunity, and the lines close 6 p.m. Saturday the 13th of December, so don't hang around. Over 18s only. You can cancel your donation and remain entered by replying cancel within 60 minutes. All the rules are at Clyde1.com. It's a big thanks to Arnold Clark. Text CAR to 84901.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Marvin Bartley are about to be joined by James in Port Glasgow on the line. How are you, James?
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Marvin. Hope you're both well.
Very well, thanks, mate.
James,
I would like to talk about two players in particular. First one is Hitati, and his second one is Dizaneda. I would take, personally, Hitati to Specsavers and get him contact lenses. And the reason I'm saying this with a bit of turning cheek is the boy's talented. How many times this season has he gave the ball away? It's unbelievable what a talented player. It's in one good game, that was against Dearnold. But if you watch the games, I don't know what's going on with the lad, but he's constantly giving the ball away. There's got to be something wrong. That's my first point.
I agree with James about his ability. I don't think that's in question. I don't think he had his finest moments on Sunday. I thought his form was getting a lot better, especially under Martin O'Neill. He seemed to have that spark again. He's a very clever player, knows how to go on the ball, but I think he was very guilty, especially early on against Hearts. He gave the ball away quite a lot for the ability that he's got.
Do you think he takes a lot of risks in terms of trying to play it forward rather than just keeping the ball going side to side?
Yeah, but I do think he's got it in his locker to do that, Marv. But sometimes you know what like it is, and you'll see it to players as well. If you're trying that ball all the time, it's not coming off for you. You can hear the rumbles. Just do the simple things and then work your way into it. And then your third or your fourth pass could be that risky one that can open up defences for you, because he's certainly got that. But I did think he was guilty. I do agree with James at the weekend.
Is there a case to say, James, that sometimes though, when he's not in the team, you kind of then notice what, you know, what he does bring? I know that doesn't sound like you're much of a fan, but you kind of need guys that take risks at times, don't you? And have you not been getting some praise for performances in recent weeks?
I'm a big fan of him. I don't like slating the players, because if you've got the ability, it shows. He's got the ability. But if you watch the games, it's the short passes, maybe 10, 15 feet to somebody in the left wing or somebody through the centre, constantly gives it away to the opposition. I mean, to be honest, if you watch it from the start of the season, how many games have people come on and said about his ability? Brilliant player, but where's his passing away? Something's wrong. Could I, is it okay to add my wee second point, Robin?
Go for it.
Guys in my header. You go back to the transfer window in the last day in the summer, in the last transfer window. Three players asked to get away. Yang was going to Birmingham. Adam Ida was not going anywhere. 12 years later, he signed for Swansea. And Naida was told, we couldn't let you away because we've not got enough players. If and when the transfer window opens in January, Wall, Dyes and Naida be allowed to leave?
I think so. I think he will be allowed to leave if the right values hit. And sometimes you have to sympathise with players, because he's given an awful lot to the football club. And obviously in the summer, him and his representatives thought it was the right thing for him to do to leave. And like you said there, he wasn't allowed to leave for, you know, things outside of kind of his control. And there has been a dip in form from him. You know, everyone's obviously spoken about that. I thought he was absolutely fantastic last season. He cleaned up in terms of, you know, personal awards for Celtic and for the league, and rightfully so. So he's definitely come away from that. But I think that been one of the first things that the new manager would have been speaking about to the board and to the player. You know, do you want to stay here beyond the January window? If he doesn't, I think they'll try and get it done. James Zerze possibly can in January to then use the funds to bring in reinforcements. And if he is happy to stay, then obviously, you know, it gives you another attacking player and it's one less to bring in. But if you're asking me to guess which side of the coin he will kind of fall on, I think he probably will leave the club in January.
Everybody's got their price.
Some attacking reinforcements needed if he leaves in January.
I think that'll be ready, getting put in place, Gordon.
Are they going to be good? It's not. Firstly, you hear it every year, it's not an easy window.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's been a lot of emphasis on Celtic not spending money, but they have, and all of it, and now are people starting to come round to the idea that even Tonetke maybe isn't, you know, he, for the first couple of games, looked like there was a real player there. He may go on to come good again, but if Celtic do another 10 million on Balakwisha and Tonetke level and Maeda leaves, that's a problem.
You got a problem. Yeah, you said, listen, but we can sit here, whether it's January window or summer window, no matter who you bring in, you're not going to guarantee that there'll be a success, even with people with big pedigrees. Come to Scottish football, we've seen it before, and they just can't handle the pace of the game or whatever it may be. I think it's a big, big January window for Celtic. I think the new manager will certainly get backed. It'll be interesting to see what positions he certainly aims at, because he's going to play with this new system that he likes. But Maeda, here's another thing. Is he still at that value? Whereas if you sold him in the summer, I'm sure you'd have got a lot more money than what you'd probably get now for him.
I still think you get very close to that summer value. I think, you know, you can put a lot of it down to the service he's had, you know, in and around him. I think you'll look at what he did last season and the season before that, rather than just basing it off the, you know, 4 or 5 months since the summer window kind of closed. So I don't think the value would be too much off that. I think the longer kind of this form goes on for him, though, if it then goes to the summer window, I think you're right. I think it'll be a lot less money. But sometimes I think it's just probably better to shake hands if a player does want to leave the football club. It's a massive football club where a lot of people want to play for. That's first and foremost.
That's another thing, right? If he wants to leave, there's no point having him round about.
Also need the bids to come in, though. Not guaranteed that they're definitely going to be there again. Thank you, James. What about Craig? Let's switch focus. Craig's a Rangers fan in Airdrie. What's your point tonight, Craig?
Hey, hi Gordon. Hi Marvin, how are you doing, all right?
All good, mate, thank you.
I just want to make a wee point about, I've seen some news, quite interesting news about Joe Aribo, possibly getting sold for $1.5 million in January, obviously coming into the last 6 months of his contract. I think that'd be a real, real coup for Rangers.
I like it. We're in December. That means you can just about start getting your January wish list.
My finance as well, Gordon. Obviously, I spoke a few weeks ago with Andy, obviously, regarding Mashmanese. I heard you obviously talk about, I seen that obviously he'd won player of the month, which I'm quite happy. Obviously, I was obviously quite optimistic about Rangers signing Mashmanese as well. So
no, you're not getting him. Sorry. Draw the line.
I'm happy with if Rangers signed Aribo. That'd be fantastic news.
I think that's one that could happen. Yeah, I do. I think sometimes when a player, you know, enjoys somewhere and obviously he had to leave because it was a really good offer that he got down the road, and you know he's not played much as football as he wanted to play. Still a very, very good player. Obviously did really, really well for Rangers, and yeah, I wouldn't be massively shocked if he came back in January.
What's the connection there now? Because you know they wouldn't. It's a different coaching team, different director of football. No director of football at the moment. Different ownership. I'm not saying it makes it impossible, but you know, who is that? Do you think Danny Rule comes across his radar that he has been successful at Rangers before? Does he want to go down a different route? You're going back into that English market, and although Craig's talking about the fee, but the wages would still be high, I'd imagine. I know Rangers fans are a bit sceptical of the English market, but maybe they'd like this one because they feel like they know what they're getting.
Yeah, and Aribo knows the club. Okay, it's under different ownership and different manager, but he knows the supporters, he knows the demands that's put upon you when you play with a club the size of Rangers. It'd be an interesting one. It really would. I don't know if I can see it happening or not, because I've not really heard anything going down that road. But he was good at Rangers. He's a good player. But it just depends on how the manager going forward is going to play. If that's the sort of player he wants in his squad and he wants in his team. But it's an interesting one.
Craig, is that, I mean, I was going to say, is that an area you think Rangers will need to address? Is there a lot of areas Rangers need to address?
Well, I obviously seen Miloski obviously at the weekend starting to hit a bit of form, so I'm quite happy with that. But we definitely need to sign a new striker. Definitely need us some cover centre half. I'm quite surprised about Diomande not getting called up for the African Cup of Nations. That was quite a weird one. I know obviously he's not really been. He's not the best of form recently at Rangers, but at the end of the day, he's going to be at Rangers now. So we just need to see what happens now.
Right. Thank you very much to Craig. It's a good time to get involved, and particularly if you want to play this.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun
for the best football news and opinion online. TheScottishSun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, beat the pundit time. 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are here at 01419511025. You can tweet us, send us a message, let us know what's on your mind. It is day 2 of the tactics board discussion. We have moved on slightly though to look at other issues coming away from the games at the weekend. If there's anything else you want to get through, we can do that as well. Let's play this first though.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun
for the best football news and opinion online. TheScottishSun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Paul's in Cambus Lang. How's it going, Paul?
Not too bad, James. How are you?
Have you ever played before?
I haven't, no.
Right, okay. You don't feel added pressure knowing that every question you get right, we give £10 to Cash for Kids, do you?
That's added a wee bit of pressure, but let's see how we do it.
You'll be fine. We're up to £340 so far, so thank you for your contributions, and thanks to our friends at Cairnhill Structures as well for putting up money. How's the form like in here?
Well, he's brilliant.
Perfect.
I'm...
Oh, hold on. This is the 1 week anniversary of Mrs. Sippy.
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
That went down a storm, by the way.
Mrs. Sippy.
Oh, what
well, if
God.
You read out the questions properly.
Well, it's always my fault, isn't it?
Yeah, we might.
Have you noticed that?
What do you mean, we?
We might understand.
He understood.
Yeah, but
it fine.
I understood the question.
I did not. You never got it right.
You're
a machine. Anyway,
Paul, one thing that's for sure is Marvin Bartley's 100% record needs to go. So if you could do that tonight, I'd be delighted.
Yeah, on Marvin's form, I think I'd rather play the Dazzler tonight.
Who are you with, Paul? There's people in that car.
There isn't.
Yes,
there
sir.
Is. My son's here.
Well, there you go. Right, that's it.
What do you mean, there you go? He's only 6 months old. Tonight.
How old's your son?
He's 10.
10?
Probably still aye. Better than you.
Aye, probably.
What's
aye.
Your son's name, Paul?
It's Scott.
Right, Paul and Scott.
I can't go that.
What do you mean?
That's cheating. It's blatant cheating.
The rules are
The rules are simple. It's beat the pundit one against
no,
one.
No, it's not.
It's no... I had a minibus one night. A minibus.
You beat them.
Aye, I beat them.
Anyway, the blue side of the coin will be Marvin Bartley. The red side will be Gordon DL. So let's see how we go.
Why is he warming the coin up?
Red.
Oh, I'm with that.
The minute it's a group.
It's you.
It's not a group. Yeah. It's a guy and his 10-year-old son.
It's
a family day out.
It's not that group.
He's in a minibus, I can hear it.
Unbelievable. Right, give him something else to listen to. He's annoying me more than usual. Paul, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep, no problem.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Jaden Magoma's on loan at Rangers from which English team?
Pass.
Which former Celtic player is head coach of Ferencvaros?
Pass.
Name any club Alex Ray managed.
Oh my god, pass.
How many league games have Motherwell lost?
Three.
In what year was VAR introduced to the Scottish Premiership?
2021.
Name anyone who scored for Scotland at France 98.
John Collins.
Okay, let's bring him back. Gordon DL, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Good tune.
How'd we Scotty go?
What were you dancing to there, Mrs.
To the beat of the music of the tune.
Mrs. Sippy.
That was the wrong words, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Good at that. Anyway,
you ready? Right.
Same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Jaden Magoma's on loan at Rangers from which English team?
Brentford.
Which former Celtic player is the head coach of Ferencvaros?
Oh, pass.
Name any club Alex Ray managed.
St Mirren.
How many league games have Motherwell lost?
Two.
In what year was VAR introduced to the Scottish Premiership?
2021.
Name anyone who scored for Scotland at France 98.
McFadden.
Which Premiership side have the most Scottish players? Which Scottish Premiership side have the most Scottish players?
The most Scottish players?
Don't repeat the question, just answer it.
Right, okay, I'll say Dundee.
Okay, McFadden, my word. Oh, dearie me. Is it not
James McFadden?
France 98.
Alright,
anyway, let's go. Paul, how do you think it went?
Well, to be fair, I play every night mainly, and I was sitting counting the score about how well I've done, and I think the pressure of being live on air can get to you a wee bit. I don't think it was the greatest.
How did Scott do?
I think some I think
better
some
than
of them
you
were,
anyway.
Some of them were quite tricky, actually, I thought tonight. Jaden Magoma's on loan from Brentford, 1-0 to Gordon DL.
Oh, no.
The Celtic ex-Celtic player who's head coach of Ferencvaros is Robbie Keane.
Oh, it sure
yeah,
is.
See, 1-0 to go.
Well, I thought Robbie Keane was a manager. What did you say?
What's going on here?
Well, head coach.
All oh, right, okay, so I thought meant assistant. So no wonder I never got it. Right.
I can't believe I'm going to get beat off it.
Tell me about it, Paul. Name any club Alex Ray's managed. The choice of Dundee and St Mirren. Gordon DL was 2-0 in front. Marvin Bartley did very well. He covered up his league table for the next question, but he still got it. Motherwell have lost two games in the Premiership.
3-1
this season.
Paul get that?
He didn't.
Paul, you all right, mate?
Paul, take your boy to McDonald's. You've embarrassed yourself. Try and bail yourself.
What's going on here?
Go for a drive-through. Get a happy meal. 3-0. Come on.
You were both fairly close. I think you maybe said the same thing. VAR was introduced in 2022. None of you got it right.
If you said the same answer as Paul, you're wrong, mate.
Paul's on a zero, which worries me.
I'm on a donut here.
I don't like your donut.
No.
And there's no money to cash for kids either.
No, sure. Paul, throw a tenner in, please.
However.
Oh, you got it.
Who scored for Scotland at France 98? John Collins, the penalty against Brazil.
Burley.
And Craig Burley. James McFadden.
Where was he?
He was 15 in 1998.
Oh, he's a good player, but.
And even in time to get the last one wrong, the Premiership team with the most Scottish players is Falkirk.
Hearts. There's always a Falkirk, isn't
it? Yeah. Hearts, Livy, Kelly. Actually, a good bit behind Falkirk of the most by.
Where was Paul?
Did he get anything?
I'd be keen to know if producer John included Scott Arfield in the Scots, or does he go down as a Canadian?
He's a Canadian.
No, Paul got the John Collins one, so right. he got one right. Tenner to cash for kids. And do you know what, Paul? Seeing the end up, I know it felt dramatic for you. It's only 3-1. He wasn't that much better.
No, it was a win, but can you hear Scott with the window down shouting, "He's not my dad"?
Scott, are you going
to...
Cheers, Paul. Scott, and Scott.
Scott, are you going to tell people at school about this tomorrow?
Maybe.
Just say dad won, mate. It's fine.
Good man. Scott in the passenger seat and Paul in canvas line. You were a good sport, Paul. I enjoyed that. Take care.
No, thanks very much,
gents.
Have a good night.
Guys.
Cheers,
take
care,
mate.
And there we go. There we go.
A victory is a victory.
I really wanted you to lose it.
Oh, I should have. Because I hate when you embarrass somebody in front of their boys.
You're too good. That's always going to happen.
Exactly. Boys like, I'm caught up on a dad. I told you not to phone, Dad. I told you not to phone. You'd embarrass us.
Big GD was on there. You shouldn't have phoned tonight.
You let off the hook spectacularly, MB. Though. I've done you a real favour.
It's not like you.
I know. Against my better judgment, so I came straight here from the Sky Sports Christmas.
I wonder why you were dressed up like that.
Christmas lunch or whatever. I mean, it's still very much ongoing, but I'm a professional, so dipped out and came here.
Be back at 9.
Chris Boyd is battering my phone. He wanted to play you at Beat the Pundit.
I would have lost.
They wanted me to give him the answers, though, I think.
Oh, he would have won.
Remember, he came on before and beat Roger Hannah.
Yeah, Roger.
But he was relentless.
But my eye would have been gone. That would have been so unfair.
I know, it would have been brilliant.
I would have blocked you on Instagram. That our friendship would have been over.
Mate, it doesn't always work.
Are you?
We played a trick in Gordon's.
Are you a teenager? I'll block you on
Instagram. I would have blocked you 100%.
Is that the big punishment?
Yeah, that is a big punishment.
Have you ever heard what we did with him?
No.
Right, so my friend was getting married, right? And I was conducting the marriage ceremony.
Yeah.
I know it sounds bizarre. That's by the by.
Doing my next one.
So it was the night before. Please, can I? It was the night before the wedding. And they said, could we try and arrange it that he comes on and plays Beat the Pundit the night before the wedding? So I thought, I'll stitch my mate up. Yep. Rather than Gordon, so I gave Gordon DL all the answers.
Oh.
So I thought, I want my mate to get humiliated the night before his wedding. He still beat him.
I get beaten a tiebreak.
Seriously, he get beaten a tiebreak, and he had the
how?
Just before it started, I needed the paper, so I pulled the sheet away, and he couldn't remember anything. He genuinely lost, having had full control of the answers. Wait, for the first hour of the show.
It was the best I've ever seen his face. He's looking at me after say, what are you doing?
Oh man, this is a tiebreaker. It means it was tight.
How poor is this though, right? I'm going to dig the big man out here. Did you know, so the Sky, I won't name the exact venue in case anyone turns up, but you'll know the Sky lunch night out is on, it's a popular
corner.
Venue in the corner of Byers Road and Great Western Road, right? You know the one. Now, you know fine well, if you come out of this studio and you turn left, you're eventually on Great Western Road.
Mm-hmm.
You go straight down Great Western Road, you're onto the motorway. Do you know this guy's refused to pick up his lovely partner
I'm not an Uber driver.
What?
It's out of my way.
It's not out your way. That's the point. It's not.
100%. That road's closed going that way.
No, it isn't.
Did you come that way today?
Yes.
Oh.
Obviously, to get here.
At 8 o'clock, though, it closes.
I'd be a bit careful because I would imagine she's a moneymaker and you're.
No chance.
You literally go right past the front door. Have a look at yourself. Get right, just straight down Great Western Road. She'll jump in.
My navigation takes me out of here and right.
Yeah, it's an alternative route, Marvin.
Which means it's longer.
It's not. So you're going to make her find her own way back to Livingston or wherever you live, rather than just picking her up on the way?
Potentially.
How bad's that? How bad's that? No, genuinely, she was saying that he's refusing to come and get her.
Exactly.
And as if it's, do you know what's even worse? She was, I sat next to her at dinner, pouring her heart out. She was, it's her birthday on Sunday and he's working at the cup final.
Are you watching at the cup final?
Yeah.
Ditched on her birthday as
you
well.
See, her on your birthday.
I picked you.
Mate, you're going to end up like me.
Alone.
It's a lonely place.
You have got from now until 8 o'clock to right these wrongs, Marvin.
No
Butler.
Chance.
Craig is in Middiesbourne. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing very well, mate. Thank you. How are you too?
Yeah,
Can't grumble.
What made you call?
Right, I'm going to make a bold prediction for
good.
You.
That's what we're here for.
So, Rangers win the next two games away from home, Hearts and Celtic, and they win the league. That's my bold prediction.
So that's the next two away games, is it?
That's more of a statement win.
Okay.
Yeah. So Rangers have obviously got Ludogorets. I'll be honest, see, if I was Danny Rowe, I would play. He's got a limited squad as it is with the kind of, you know, the squad being. Sorry, I thought I lost you for a second. The Ludogorets squad being kind of, you know, as it is, and he's got to ease, like, Dujon Stelling back in for Hibs. Hibs game doesn't really concern me. Pardon me, Gordon. The Motherwell game just after Christmas doesn't concern me. Rangers, I've got two games against Aberdeen in January. I do think if Rangers can go to Tynecastle and Celtic Park, bear in mind, Barry Ferguson went to Celtic Park last season and won quite convincingly, despite the scoreline. It was quite a convincing performance. But my main point is, Rangers, I think this is going to be the worst side that I've ever won the league, in my opinion.
What, whoever wins it?
Whoever wins it, yeah.
Right.
Because I think Celtic, also, as you know, Gordon, I'm a Rangers fan, but I think Celtic, if they kept Martin O'Neill, there's a chance. I do think this is going back to 2005. Maybe the Dazzler kind of will be aware of what I'm talking about, where Hearts split the Old Firm. I can't see Hearts winning the league, in all honesty, because they're so inconsistent. And I know Tony Bloom's
They're not really, though, are they? I mean,
They've only lost one game.
I mean, themselves and Rangers have only lost one game. Celtic have lost more games.
But Hearts are then, you know, Hearts can't really be described as inconsistent. They've been a very consistent run for a long time there.
Yeah, but I mean, if Celtic win a game in hand, they go top of the league. But Hearts have beaten them twice. So that's what I mean by inconsistent.
Yeah, you can pick up points anywhere, though. Right, hold on. Let's get back to the original point, because I was looking at the fixtures, and no, you were right. That's the next two away games are Hearts and Celtic for Rangers. What have Rangers turned a corner enough, Craig, that you can say that a game like Motherwell is one that doesn't worry you? Hibs come to Ibrox as well in between times.
Falkirk,
St Mirren come to Ibrox as well before that Celtic game. I know Rangers won at the weekend. Are they seriously in that good a place that gives you that much confidence to disregard games like Motherwell and some of those others?
For me, yes, under Danny Rowe, because
just drew with Falkirk like the game before last, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Of course, they did. But for me, I mean, could you honestly see the Celtic team going to Rugby Park and winning 3-0? Could you see Hearts do that? No. Did Rangers play fantastic? No. But for me, Rangers, Danny Rowe has got something going at Rangers, and it's not going to be pretty. I'm not going to say we're going to win all the games fantastic, you know, playing fantastic football, but
But see, the only thing is, but like, obviously you might be right in time, and there's only one way to find out. But the when you pick those one individual games as proof for your case, you say, oh, well, what would happen if Celtic went to Rugby Park? I don't think they would win 3-0. But when Falkirk went to Celtic Park, Celtic won 4-0. And when Falkirk went to Ibrox, you know, you drew the match. So we can always kind of do that if you want to select individual opponents.
Yeah, well, of course. But I mean, like, what the reason I'm picking out Rugby Park is that's a difficult ground for any club to play at.
Not really at the moment, to be fair. By the way, good job on Rangers. It was a clean sheet. It was convincing. They got Mikey Moore back. Miowski scored. But it's not that tough a place to go at the moment, is it? There's a reason that the Kelly fans are on here early in the week saying they want to sack the manager.
I couldn't care how Rangers win league. Listen, I'll take Rangers winning league on last kick of the game, 2005.
I know, but I'm talking about the reason for your working. What was the score last time Hearts went to Rugby Park?
You tell me. So 3-0. Was
Hearts.
It?
Yep.
Was it 3-0 to Hearts? Yeah. Right. Okay. So the equal Rangers done. So
I know, but you just said I can't see Hearts going. Would Hearts go to Rugby Park and win 3-0? I don't think so. I'm telling you, the last time they went to Rugby Park, they won 3-0.
My point is Hearts aren't going to stay in that through the season.
They might not, but you're referencing all these previous games, and I just don't feel like that side of it stands up to scrutiny.
Do you genuinely think Hearts are going to challenge Rangers and Celtic in March and April?
I honestly have no idea, but that wasn't what the original argument was based on. The proof of what going to Rugby Park, or the proof of playing Falkirk.
Right.
I mean, Hearts literally won 3-0 at Rugby Park last time.
The only thing I will agree with Craig there is quite simple. Just now,
because none of you have tipped Hearts to win the league.
I don't think Hearts will win the league. But I'll agree with Craig in one thing here. Leading up to January, it is probably the worst that Celtic Rangers have played since the start of the season, right? You look at it already, two managers have already left. Brendan Rodgers obviously leaves. Russell Martin got hounded out because it was that bad. You look at the squads, I know there's key injuries, new manager come in for Rangers down the road. The Rangers fans are buying in. It was a good result, good clean sheet. They stunk the place out the week before against Falkirk, who turned up and didn't even play well and got a draw. So there's no evidence there for me to say that Rangers are really starting to motor here under a new manager, and they can go and win all these games and they can go and win the league. There's nothing there that would convince me that just now.
By the way, I don't think they will. That's what I'm saying. See if Craig wants to say, I've just got this feeling Rangers will win the league. Actually, don't mind it, because you can't argue with that. But to say, like, Rugby Park is the proof of it, or Hart's record against Kilmarnock is the proof of it, or whatever, I just don't feel like that adds anything to the argument.
No, I'm in agreement with you. That's the thing, and like you said, Rangers could win the league, because there's more than enough games for them to catch, you know, Celtic, Hearts and Motherwell at this point. They need to go past as well. And they play those teams on numerous occasions between now and the end of the season. So, you know, it can definitely happen, Craig. Probably haven't seen enough of Rangers in terms of performances. Yes, they picked up more points, but I just don't think some of the performances have been great. You know, we went there to Ibrox and played against them, and, you know, they beat us 2-1, but they weren't great on the day, and we should have got something out of that game. So, yeah, I think, you know, Rangers winning games is obviously improved, but I don't think the performances have been absolutely brilliant for you to, you know, sit there and say they'll win the league. I still personally think Celtic will win the league. But yeah, listen, you've got, as I said, three teams above you to catch first.
I'm not ready to get carried enough away yet to bite on Craig's disregard of Motherwell. But it's
that'd be some game, by
but
the
it's
way.
One that I'll just store just in case it does go Motherwell's way. I'll maybe give him a call back, but I won't bite for now. This is me honestly not biting. Thank you to Craig in Moody Spur. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here. Plenty of time to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. Got a good teaser for you tonight, sent in by Andy in Motherwell. Think it's Halliday on the treatment table for Park, no?
Well, he's got plenty of time.
Loads of
time.
He
could do it on a Saturday afternoon.
No heard from him.
While he's watching the game.
Not heard from him since the Christmas
That's a bad sign.
Days out in Dublin at the weekend, though.
I saw him in the tunnel actually on Saturday. Could be. Looking well.
Just floating about.
Just looking well. Yeah.
With his wee bag ready going to play.
He's in his fancy dress.
He's going out gear on.
Oh, he's ready for it.
Nah, well, actually fancy dress? Nah. Well, surely the next day. My goodness.
Dressed as a mother of a player.
A star. Stop it.
That's poor.
Right, anyway, Andy in Motherwell says it's Champions League night. It is. And six of the top 10 Champions League scorers of all time have scored against a Scottish team in the competition. So it's Champions League night. Six of the top 10 Champions League scorers of all time have scored against a Scottish team in the competition.
Well, the big two,
can you name them?
Messi
and Ronaldo, surely.
Ronaldo has never scored against the Old Firm, either of them.
Do
you know probably why? I remember he played against Mark Wilson, back pocket, when he was at Man United.
Stopped him.
Yeah.
Which is Bayern Munich? Müller.
Hold on. Did you give me two answers there, or was it one?
No, Messi. I gave you Messi.
Messi, correct.
Gave you Ronaldo.
He's got. Messi, he's got multiple goals against Celtic, loads against Celtic, and I think one against Rangers. Messi, Thomas Müller, yes, one goal against Celtic. I'll take one more guess, please.
Real Madrid.
Real.
No.
Speaking
Benzema.
Speaking of Bayern Munich, I think all of Scotland will come together and, you know, fly the flag and really support the officials in the Bayern Munich game tonight. Nick Walsh is the ref. Dan McFarlane, Frank Connor are the assistants. Don Robertson's the fourth official, and Andrew Dallas is the VAR. Because we always say that, you know, we like to stick up for ourselves in Europe. And is there a refereeing coefficient? I don't know if that. Can you see it? Can you see the whole nation getting united and backing the boys against?
Good is that for our
brilliant
game.
Brilliant.
Absolutely great.
If you've got any calls, well wishes. Mm-hmm. You could get. No? Well, I'm not holding my breath.
No, you've got to congratulate the boys. Right, who were you saying there?
But anyway, Bayern Munich against Sporting tonight. Benzema.
Correct.
Well done. Okay, you got two against Rangers. That was back in his. Was that back in his Lyon days? Anyway, let's leave it there. Okay. Got a special call that I'm really keen to hear right now from John, who's on the line from Perth. How are you, John?
I'm good, thanks, Gordon. How are you?
Now, John, the reason I say it's special, it's just a wee bit different, right? Because normally to fit in on here, you need to really moan and whinge and berate managers, players, officials, etc. But I want to tap into a really unique experience you had at Fir Park at the weekend. John, tell us your backstory. Tell us what happened. Give us the lowdown.
Yeah, so I'm a sort of really big advocate for sort of disability access within in football and sport in general as well. So I was really pleased to be invited along by Motherwell Football Club on Saturday to help with their celebrations of the International People with Disabilities Day. And I was very kindly given this sort of, I can only describe it as a sort of VR headset that was given to me on loan by a company. And obviously I'm registered blind and I go to football and I listen to the audio descriptive commentary, and that service provided by clubs is brilliant. But this amazing headset sort of let me actually physically see the game for the first time through the sort of technology, through the hardware and software that this company had built to sort of enhance the experience for visually impaired supporters.
John, Gordon DL doesn't even understand how to work his phone, right? Yeah. So try and explain how that works. So you have some sight, and then this technology enhances. How does that work? I think that's what everyone will be asking.
Of course, yeah. So like, I was born and I've got no sight at all in my right eye, but I do have a tiny bit of central vision in my left eye. So basically, you put this headset on, and it's kind of front-loaded with cameras in it and stuff. So basically, and I've got a controller in my hands that kind of controls the contrast. You can zoom in and out, so you can, like on Saturday, I could read the players' names on the back of the shirt for the first time and stuff, and you can change the brightness, the colour contrast, so you can kind of tailor it to your own visual requirements as well.
That's absolutely amazing, right, from a technological standpoint. How did that make you feel, John, though? So you're a big football fan, and it's not a stretch to say this is the first time you've seen a football game properly. Is that
absolutely
fair?
I was just totally kind of, I wasn't really sure what to expect of it, to be honest. But see, when sort of within the first couple of minutes of putting it on, I was just totally overwhelmed with emotions, you know, because most of the information that I've taken in from football has been sort of auditory, you know, through the commentary and somebody describing what's happening. And I love it. I think it's great. But actually being able to see a game with my own eyes, which I've never, ever experienced before, was just absolutely unbelievable.
John, I'm a bit overwhelmed listening to you. I can't imagine what that must have been like. And if you'll allow me a moment to brag, what a first game to see. The first game in your life, the Motherwell Globetrotters, Mercedes Jens running rings around Marvin Bartley's livy, John. That must have been a delight for you.
Oh, it was absolutely brilliant. I mean, I must confess I am a Dundee United supporter as well, but like watching Motherwell are having such a good run at the moment, and they are a good team, a great team to watch. So yeah, no, I was delighted to actually be able to see them as well on Saturday. I was just, you know, any game at all, I would have liked to have experienced that. But it was just an amazing experience on Saturday.
I bet you to turn these contrast and brightness down at the state of your trainers. I saw them in the touchline. My goodness, honestly. John, what, I mean, you spoke about being able to see the names on the back of the shirts, you know, something that you've never even come close to by the sounds of it. Did you, yeah. I mean, all your life, John, what you just assumed that you would never get, you'd never really get to see a football game, and you'd never get to share that visual experience the way, you know, most other fans do.
Yeah, you know, and it's something I've never even really thought about, because I really quite enjoy listening to the people who do this specific audio descriptive commentary. They do a wonderful job, so I assumed that that's sort of the extent of where my experience would go. But when, you know, discovering that this technology is now available for live events, it just, you know, it's really hard to put into words. I just never ever expected that this would be a possibility for me. And now it's not obviously just a possibility for me, but, you know, thousands of other visually impaired fans as well.
Is that the hope? You know, clearly you've been gifted the headset by this company. It sounds quite cutting edge. Is that the hope, that one day that becomes, you know, certainly widespread or a bit more accessible?
Yeah, absolutely. I think at the moment the only club who have bought it in for their supporters are Crystal Palace down in the Premier League, and they use it at every home game. So, you know, it would be absolutely amazing to see this rolled out more widely in Scotland and beyond as well.
John, I honestly can't stop thinking about how you must have been feeling. You must have been lying in bed that night thinking that was just an amazing experience. You used the word overwhelming. That sounds like the most apt. It must have been an amazing experience for you.
It really was. I was actually. I almost didn't want to take the headset off. You know what I mean? It really was. I've just, you know, like we're a couple of days after the game now, and I'm still thinking about it. And then this coming Saturday as well, I'm actually going to Tannadice, and I'll see Motherwell again, actually, because it's Dundee United Motherwell, and I'm just so looking forward to, I mean, I've been going to Tannadice all my life, but never actually seen the team on the pitch before, so that's just going to be, you know, such an amazing thing to see.
God, it's too serious a topic for me to make a joke about watching Dundee United, isn't it? stay away from it, John. How amazing
is that? Regardless of the result, it'll be an experience, I'm sure.
John, I'm happy with the positive nature of the call, but I wonder, I don't mean to turn it in a more of a negative sense, but was it hard to take it off then? Did you feel yourself sort of pining for that experience again? Or are you just sort of, you sound quite diplomatic about the full thing, and you made your peace with, you know, consuming football the way that you did previously?
Yeah, and I think it was, like you said, it was a bit kind of like, oh, right, I have to take this off now and kind of go back to life as it was before I put this thing on. And I was just like, I was a bit like, I felt more positive that, like, if this is what the technology is like now, you can imagine the kind of things that this could be developed into, you know, 10, 20 years down the line from now, because this is obviously still just an early model of it. So I'm sure it'll be developed forward. And it's actually made me think of, you know, what further possibilities might be possible, you know, whereas before I just thought the audio descriptive commentary was as far as it would go. Now, it seems like there's endless possibilities.
Oh, I love that, honestly. I hope you weren't doing anything inappropriate that John could see, because your behaviour in the touchline's not great.
Well, that was my worry. When you said that, when you were building the solar, I was thinking, I didn't kick any balls on the pitch on Saturday. Like, what's happened here? But no, that's honestly some things you take for granted. And to hear John and the excitement in his voice of being able to watch that game, and like you said, a good game from his point of view, you know, being the neutral there and seeing three good goals from Motherwell as well. Listen, it's excellent. And his experience in football is going to go from kind of one extreme to the other. Like you said, the audio description was really, really good. And now he has this. So, nah, John, it's brilliant to hear, mate. Honestly, it really is.
I've got bad news for you, though. I've been saving this up. John was telling me off air. He didn't want me to mention it, but he was telling me off air that it's actually so powerful. Technology is so good. If he turned his head to the left, he could see in your flat window.
Yeah, let me tell you, we'd never want to take off.
Everyone in Motherwell will be shutting their curtains.
Exactly.
That would break the headset, John.
I've been on this programme a long time. That's probably the best story I've ever
heard. I'm glad, because I didn't tell you guys about it before.
It's sensational.
I actually wanted to do it last night, and I thought we'll just do it tonight when there's maybe a bit more breathing space for it. Because, so, John, this was part of a wider day. What was it you mentioned? Because I noticed the Motherwell chairman, Kirk McMillan, he came and sat in amongst you and all the fans, didn't he?
That's right. He came down to sit in the sort of disabled seating area, and there was various things on. I think, like, the Motherwell players had, you know, the shirts to show their support for International Disabled People's Day and everything. So it was actually just great to see the club embrace their disabled supporters and the Disabled Supporters Association, who do a great job at the club as well.
So how does this work? You've still got the headset for this week. Is that, you got a time frame on that? Is this just a kind of trial thing that the company's rolling out? What's the future look like?
It was actually initially supposed to just be for the one game. They usually just lined it out to let people try it out for the one game, but thankfully they've let me sort of extend the loan of it, so I can keep it to see the Dundee United game on Saturday as well.
John, see if you keep it forever and don't tell anyone. I won't tell anyone. You've only just broadcast it to the nation. If you always, you stick that in your pocket, John.
Well, the postal service is going on strike next week, is it?
Exactly. Tell them we said it was all right, John. You are a top man, John. I loved your story, and I hope you enjoy this weekend, but not too much.
Thanks, Gordon. I appreciate that.
Good man. That was John Attenborough. That's amazing, honestly. That's class. The wonders of modern technology.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Anyway, okay, right. We get back to arguing about the tactics boards after that. Feels wrong, doesn't it? Let's take a breather. I'll get you the answers to the teaser, hopefully, when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Oh, I think Gordon Dalziel, Marvin Bartley, me and maybe the listening public needed a minute to get over John's call. It was amazing listening to John there talking about, I mean, the ultimate example probably of what we take for granted. John going to the football games all these years and eventually got to see one for the first time, thanks to the wonders of modern technology. It was amazing. And hopefully we can, maybe, I don't know, maybe we could start some sort of drive to get these things to be a bit more accessible. As always, it will come down to money. But my goodness, that was an inspiring story from John. Right, what about the teaser tonight? It's Champions League night. We said, I've had thousands of messages in wishing Nick Walsh and the boys well in the game between Bayern Munich that they're refereeing tonight. Six of the top 10 Champions League all-time scorers have scored against a Scottish team in the competition. You've got Messi, Benzema and Müller.
Well, state Bayern Munich. I know he's now at Barcelona. Lewandowski
never scored against the Old Firm, would you believe?
Mbappe, oh. PSG,
yeah. Two against Celtic, yep. Okay, will we go one? That's more guess. How many have you got left?
Neymar.
Only two. Have you got two left?
Yeah.
Right, go one more guess then.
Neymar.
No.
You malfunctioned there. Or what? What's happening there?
Turn him off and back on again.
I'm trying to think. Is a Man United player?
One of them has played for Man United.
I would go Van Nistelrooy.
Correct. Oh. Three goals against Rangers. Okay, leave it there. We've only got one to get. We'll get it before the end of the show, I hope. Alan is a Partick Thistle fan. Alan, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. How are you?
Right, Alan, I need to come clean, right? I was partially joking about the late postponement at Cove, but only from a Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson standpoint, right? Because it's funny between those two. For the rest of you, though, how annoying is that?
incredibly annoying. I'm fortunate in that I didn't travel up to it. I was in two minds because it's a ground I've never been to and was quite keen to go, but I couldn't for various reasons. So it doesn't impact me personally, but there's two related points I'd like to make, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's both about the way that we treat fans in this country. This isn't the first postponement there's been, it's not the last, but it's always the long-distance journeys that you feel for people. If it's half an hour down the road, it's not great, but you can live with it. But when you're travelling 3.5 hours, or whatever it is, to get there, it's not been postponed because of the pitch.
Yep.
The pitch is fine. It's been postponed because of the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that has seen a weather forecast or has a weather app knew it was going to be pretty windy today. Could they not have made that decision earlier?
Yeah,
to get an official on site to see that it's windy. I mean, everybody knew it was going to be windy. It's not a surprise to anyone.
Yeah, Thistle issued a just on that. Sense. Thistle issued a small statement, a message from the club, sharing the frustrations. Travelled, pitch was fine, as Alan says, playable. Shortly after the team arrived, the match official deemed the wind to be excessive and called the game off. What do you think, Marvin? I totally get Alan's point. I mean, the forecast there, just listen to the forecast. I don't, and then this is made so much worse because of the journey time. So I think we always try and stick up for fans. We think fans should be taken into account. I think I've got a fraction of sympathy for those that are actually having to make those decisions, though. And, you know, it's one of those, I mean, there will have been times where the forecast says it's going to be windy and then it maybe isn't, and you've called a game off and you need to try and rearrange it, especially when the pitch is playable. I don't know if the wind picked up quicker than it was meant to. Look, I don't want to give the decision makers too much sympathy, because I think fans are the ones that are hardest done by, clearly, but I still think postponements can be difficult to get right.
Yeah, they can be difficult, but I'm going to be with Alan on this one. I think if the journey's over an hour and the forecast does say that it's going to be windy, which was in this case, I think you err on the side of caution, because you have got fans that are travelling up from work or taking half days or whatever else it might be. And listen, the team, they're professional footballers, so it doesn't make too much difference. It's annoyance to them, but there's actual supporters, what Alan's speaking about. I definitely agree with him. Again, if it said it was going to rain, then it's an artificial pitch. That's no problem with that. But when you are speaking about wind and the fact that the referee goes out there or the officials go out there and instantly say, no, this is too windy, right, the game's off. I think that should have been made, that call, a lot earlier before, you know, any supporter would have travelled. I think, like you said there, you looked at the weather forecast leading into this week. It told you today was going to be really, really windy. We knew this. So, I think the game should have been called off.
I suppose it's not just like a little bit of a breeze, Gordon. This has been sort of in the, you know, predictable up to a point. I've been getting text messages from Mrs. Duncan, who's worried about the trampoline and the Christmas lights, more importantly.
Yeah.
I certainly ain't gone up to put them back up when I didn't put them up in the first place. But more seriously for Alan, Alan's admitting it, he's lucky he didn't go up. I'm reading the replies to Thistle's tweet about it, and guys that have driven all the way up, and hold on. This is not a competition. Dunfermline, at your old stomping ground at Queen of the South, I think that's just been called off. Is it not due to start?
Yeah, it'd be started by now, would it not?
Quarter two is probably due to start.
They got called off.
It's genuinely right. Dunfermline have tweeted at 7:48, 2 minutes ago, saying, due to safety concerns and high winds, the match officials have now called the game off. We apologise to supporters who made the long journey to Dumfries.
Yeah, that's not acceptable.
That is frustrating.
Yeah, it's not acceptable.
Yeah.
It really isn't. And like you said, Gordon, in terms of rearranging stuff, it's one of those that you end up having to do it. But supporters have now travelled there. That game should have probably started. So whether, you know, supporters are actually in the stadium and they've delayed that one.
So what's actually happened there in that one is that, so 23 minutes ago, Queen of the South tweeted, we'd like to inform supporters that the players and the ref hadn't arrived yet because there must have been a problem on the road. So
it's the back roads. The tree's been blown down.
So it was going to kick off later than planned, and then 2 minutes ago it's been postponed. That backs up your point, Alan, doesn't it?
It's just, if you've got whatever yellow amber weather warnings, then does that not advise don't travel? All that sort of stuff must come into it, and can somebody please just apply a wee bit of common sense?
It shows you the different areas that can and can't, you know, affected. So that's Dumfries, Queen of the South. We're speaking about Cove. In between, I can see that Stirling Albion has gone ahead because Morton are one up. And thanks to whoever sat the Something in front of the TV that I'm trying to look at. Wraith Rovers are one up on Hamilton Accies as well. So Kirkcaldy, Stirling, Fine, Dumfries, you know, the two extremes, the north and south. Dumfries.
Listen,
and
it's just something. It's happened even when in my day as a manager and a player as well. It's the most frustrating thing in the world. And I think Mark Touch is on a good point. That sort of a distance that you're asking, and plus the fact, okay, financially, especially at this time, is hurting. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing is safety. Yeah. First and foremost is the safety.
East Kilbride on, Cowdenbeath are on. I'm just looking randomly through them. Like Broxburn are playing Albion Rovers. That you know that's on. Wherever Forfar are playing, that's on as well, albeit in grim conditions. They say. So it's a kind of case by case basis, but no, I think Alan, it's a really tough one, isn't it? What did you say? You had a second point to make. Was it related to that, or was it something different?
No, it's related in terms of trying to look after fans, but not to the weather.
Sure.
So it's about the World Cup and the application for tickets.
Yeah.
And it turns out that you can't apply for more than one child's ticket. So if you're a parent,
seriously,
According to the SFA, I don't think this is the SFA's fault. I think this is a FIFA type thing. But the supporters club sent out an email yesterday getting you to fill in this online survey to try and gauge numbers who are going. Say, if you're planning on applying for a ticket for an under 18, it's vital that you fill it in so they can give you the details. By the way, it's not possible to apply for more than one under 18's ticket per adult. So I've booked up. I booked flights. I just took a punt and booked flights to New York before the draw. Got lucky with that, but now can't apply for tickets for my two kids, which is just madness. No sense.
Yeah, that
just sums up the way that supporters are getting treated.
Yeah, little element, especially that. I think that's acknowledged there himself that that's a kind of world level, and I feel like people's sort of faith in FIFA looking out for fans probably evaporated a long time ago. It feels like on a completely different planet compared to the stuff we're talking about, looking after fans here and the weather and so on. And there are going to be a lot of elements of this World Cup that I think are leaving a bit of a bad taste. If we're talking, I think prices, mostly access to the tickets and so on. It's actually a really good point, Alan, and I wish we had a bit more time, but as you can hear, the music's already playing. We've only got 30 seconds left. You get one more answer in the teaser. Six of the top 10 Champions League all-time scorers have scored against a Scottish team. You've got Messi, Benzema, Mbappe, Müller, Van Nistelrooy. I think you've got them all apart from one.
Struggling. Striker.
You should know.
I should know.
Who's your, amongst all the various teams you pretend to support?
Wow.
Quick.
14. Who? 6 seconds.
Hurry up.
5.
Thierry Henry. We're back tomorrow at 6.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.